but I don't know really who I am. So like if I just try to like blend with them, maybe I will find myself. Maybe I'll find myself in somebody else.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we inspire and activate women in their power, in their authenticity, and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage, the Ecstatic Life Mentor. I am the founder and CEO of Creator Consciousness, which is a Trinity teaching of embodiment, manifestation, and creative genius, here to teach you how to masterfully create your reality. So today I'm here to talk about one of the three things that this podcast is really intentionally here for, which is authenticity. In these solo episodes, I'm always sharing with you really my experience, my journey, in hopes that it helps you to connect to yourself and your own journey. On the topic of authenticity, after I had my spontaneous Kundalini awakening and really began the journey of self-realization, one of the most profound questions I began asking myself and the universe was, who am I? Sometimes I would ask this question in the peace of my meditation, asking the question as I sank into my body, feeling the different bodies of my being, feeling the different vibrations of myself, connecting to my heart, connecting to oneness, connecting to love. Other times, I would ask this question amongst a waterfall of tears, collapsed on the ground, crying, feeling perhaps very lost, very confused, yelling, screaming, begging, who am I? Seems like an obvious question with a very obvious answer. But it's not. It wasn't to me, anyways. Wasn't to me because, in all honesty, I had lost a part of myself. I had forgotten a part of myself. I had rejected and abandoned a part of myself. And I was seeking her. She was my authenticity. She is my authenticity. I think it's rare in our society right now for people to really hold on to their true self throughout their life. And honestly, I've learned that it's not always what we're meant to do. I find and I believe that the greatest journey is to lose yourself and to find yourself again. It's the journey, what it feels like to not be your authentic self, what it feels like to put on the masks, to don the masks that society desires of you, to don the masks that perhaps your parents, your school, your friends, whomever that you've gifted your power to, your partners, your relationships, gifted your power to dictate who you should be. To go down that journey is spectacular. Because it never feels right. It never feels like home. For many years, I lived abroad and traveled, and I taught scuba diving. And one time I arrived in Honduras and I went to Roatan, which is an island. So I flew into Tegucigalpa, I'm not saying that quite right, the main capital of Honduras, and then immediately flew out to the island. And, you know, you check your bags all the way through. Well, I got to the island and my bags didn't arrive. To, you know, the tourist who is on vacation, yeah, not having your bags is stressful and difficult. But those bags were my life. Everything I had and owned was in those bags. So they didn't arrive. And, you know, I went to get help. And hey, guess what? This is a known thing. Like, bags just don't arrive. Oh, they'll be on the next plane. Like, this is what happens. This is what we do, the airline told me. This is what they do. Oh, okay. So I waited. Bags didn't arrive. Bags didn't arrive. Bags didn't arrive. They didn't care. Nobody cared. My bags were stolen. Several days later, after sitting in a dive shop, I found a guidebook that specifically says, do not check your bags in all the way. Check them in yourself. Make sure they arrive at each destination. Well, I hadn't read that. I was reimbursed, you know, something like $3,000 for something that was like $10,000, but the price doesn't even matter, does it? It's your stuff. The point to the story is, in the midst of trying to get my things back, I had a beautiful woman at the dive shop give me her clothes. I had nothing. I had the clothes I had arrived on with. And I found myself wearing somebody else's clothes, which really isn't that big of a deal, or is it? All of a sudden, I didn't feel like myself. I didn't feel like me at all. I didn't have any of the things that were mine. I was wearing somebody else's clothes. It was very surreal. And it made me realize how much our clothes are our personality, right? Like, they don't identify us. They don't define us. But we express ourselves through our clothing. And so when you're wearing somebody else's clothes, of things that you just wouldn't ever buy for yourself, not good or bad, right or wrong, they weren't bad clothes. They just weren't things that I would buy for myself. All of a sudden, you feel very strange. Eventually, I did get to go buy some clothes that were me. And the story goes on. But it was a great peek behind the door of what we do to ourselves throughout our whole life, of choosing to don what society wants us to wear, what school wants us to wear, what our partners, our parents, our friends, whoever it is, that again, we gift our power to, because it's our choice. We're not victims. Oftentimes, we're not even aware that we're doing it. And it happens very slowly. Before you know it, you know, you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s, and you don't really know who you are. So now you see yourself wearing these clothes, right? Like I did that day when I was wearing these clothes and just felt so not me. You begin to ask yourself, well, if I'm not this, if this doesn't feel like home, if this doesn't feel like who I am, then who am I? And if you're at that point or you've ever gotten to that point, well, then I welcome you from my heart. Welcome. Welcome to the beginning. Yay! The beginning of self-realization, the beginning of the realization, my love, of you, of your true self, of your authentic self. Before the programming, before the socializing, before. Who is that woman? Who is that girl? These things begin very, very young. When I'm working with clients, the energy automatically goes back to from about 3 to 6 years of age. You know, in those years, we are like sponges. We are just taking on our environment. And, you know, our instincts are to match, to fit in, right? To match what's around us so that we're received and accepted. It's not the fault of anybody. This isn't like to blame and to point fingers. This is just part of what has happened in humanity and our lack of awareness of our individuated selves. So we try to blend in. And between those ages, we lose so much of our own unique voice and expression. So much of my work is taking clients back to those times and reconnecting them to themselves. And that's what I've done for myself as well. And it's been a journey. When we're not our authentic self, we don't feel at home. And that's a particular feeling, home. When I had the first feeling of home in myself, it was just that word. It was like, oh my gosh, this is me. It just feels so right. And then from there, I met my partner and he felt like home. And then I met my dog and she felt like home. And all of a sudden, things were beginning to line up in the vibration of home because I had found that in myself. It's kind of like that feeling of going away for a while and literally coming back to your physical home. And if you enjoy your home, it feels really good. You're like, my bed, my space, it feels like you, right? It's familiar, but it's not just familiar. There's something else there. It's you. It feels right. It feels in alignment. Another interesting story. Recently, I went to Mount Shasta to write my manuscript. And I went for a whole month. And, you know, whenever you go on like these journeys, these voyages, there's always so many layers of self-discovery. Mount Shasta is a vortex, so there's a lot of really powerful energy there. And I absolutely went through, you know, another layer and another dissolving of the false self. So much that when I got home, it didn't feel like home. Isn't that interesting? I had the reflection of still parts of me that I was like, hey, that's no longer in alignment. It was beautiful because here I am telling you about this sensation of home is like coming to back to your physical home. And I literally just had the opposite experience. So I kind of throw that in there as a little twist. because a part of me had died. A part of my identity had died. And so when I came home from Mount Shasta, that part of my identity was like staring me in the face. And I was like, wow, who is that? I don't even resonate with her anymore. Great. Yay. Now I can just clear that out of my space, clear that out of my house, out of my life. Because of course, what did I feel more of in my body, in my being? I felt, of course, more at home. So I hope that wasn't confusing. But usually the feeling of coming home to ourselves is that feeling of coming home after a trip. Perhaps after staying at somebody else's house, you know, you're in their space and you come home and you're like, oh, this is my space. That's what it feels like. And as we come home to ourselves, our genius wakes up. It's like she's been laying there waiting. When is she going to come home? I'm waiting for her to come home so that I can show her her own brilliance. That's what your genius wants to do for you. And then you start creating from that sense of self, from that authenticity. Here's the thing about authenticity and vulnerability. In our society, everybody thinks that vulnerability is like this exposure, right? That you're talking about yourself or you're exposing yourself. The truth is, vulnerability comes from authenticity. True vulnerability comes from authenticity. When you connect to your authentic self, you're naturally vulnerable. You're organically vulnerable. Vulnerability isn't another thing for us to practice, to do. You can, but it's always going to feel kind of like not quite there. It is going to feel exposing. It is going to feel a little uncomfortable. Because in all honesty, you don't really know who you are. So what are you expressing? What are you exposing to the world? However, when you realize yourself and you have that feeling of coming home, there is such a desire to express from that place. It's like you want to show everybody your book. Here, look, this is me. Isn't she beautiful? Authenticity just naturally creates vulnerability. It's just the vibration of truth. It is felt. Now that I know more of myself, I can sense it in other people. I can sense when they are hitting the nail on the head as far as who they truly are and when they are still subscribing to programs and identities that really don't resonate with them. So going back to when I hadn't realized myself, this feeling of always just not feeling at home. I didn't feel at home. I mean, that was the place I felt most at home, was at home. But the location I lived in was never right. The people were never quite right, even though I have amazing friends throughout my entire life. It was kind of one of those things where it's like, something just isn't quite right. And that something was me, right? It was never about the location. It was never about the people. It was never about any of it. It was me. There was often a feeling like awkwardness and even the inquiry of, okay, what do I need to do or say, or like, who do I need to be in this moment? Right? And it wasn't always a conscious thought. It was more of like a feeling in the body where I'd be with a group of people and it was kind of like, okay, how do I morph into something that blends? Right? How do I just camouflage into all of them? Isn't that interesting? That hits me really quite viscerally in my body as I say that, to just remember how I wanted to just blend in. Knowing myself now, that's so ironic because I've never been one to follow a crowd. I've never been one to fit in. So it was kind of like this push-pull of like me, who doesn't like have a desire to fit in and has always been a trailblazer, and I'm going to do it my own way, and that version of me, and then this version that was like, but I don't know really who I am. So like, if I just try to like blend with them, maybe I will find myself. Maybe I'll find myself in somebody else. Of course, that never works. And then after my spiritual awakening, it was a lot about looking towards mentors. Like, well, you know, I trust you. You know, you're obviously a wonderful person. Can you tell me who I am? I did that time and time again. Can you tell me who I am? Can you tell me who I am? Tell me who I am. Just tell me who I am. Just do it. Just tell me. So I'll sit here and I'll make notes and I will be sure to be that. Again, another beautiful part of the journey. It came from desperation. When I had my spiritual awakening, there was an absolute like click on of wow, me. Like when I had my spontaneous Kundalini awakening, which I explained in the episode From Numb to Ecstatic, I felt myself. So then it was like, how do I get back to that? It was a really strong yearning. I really desperately desired it to the point that I would, you know, pay somebody to tell me who I was. Of course, that never worked. But boy, if I didn't learn a lot. The truth is, people can only see you from their lens. They will always see you through themselves. That's not right or wrong. That's not good or bad. It just is. To truly see ourselves, we have to look through our own lens. We have to awaken to the truth of who we are. So it's not to say that those mentors didn't tell me who I was. They just told me who I was to them. Some of them, it just didn't resonate at all what they would tell me, you know. Some of them, it was like, oh, that's really close. And all the while, I was still asking myself, I was still doing the work, you know, because this is all about all of you, right? It's not just about the one part or the aspect or how somebody sees you, right? It's all that you are. And that takes the work, that takes the self-awareness. It takes the willingness to see both your gifts and your light as well as your shadow. And that's truly where the work is. And I was doing all of that this whole time that I was also seeking through other people. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. Because that's what I learned. I learned that they could only see me how they saw me. And it did help me. It did help me. It helped me along the journey. Oftentimes it validated the things that I was already feeling in myself and connecting to in myself and gave me permission to, yes, anchor into that. Yes, yes, yes. That is the breadcrumb. Until more and more feeling that home, that clarity of home. Because it crystallizes, it clarifies, it brightens and illuminates as we begin to see it more and more and come back to it. The feelings of unfulfillment, the feelings of rejection, of abandonment, the fear of abandonment, the fear of rejection, the fear of not fitting in, the yearning for something. These are all symptoms of not being connected to your authentic self. A lack of intimacy. Because there is no intimacy with others without intimacy of the self, first and foremost. A lack of connection, a lack of feeling connection, right? Like that deep feeling of secure attachment. If you know the attachment types, right? Secure attachment means that you are in your power and in your truth and aware of your individuation as well as the ability to deeply connect with another. Well, bring that to yourself, secure attachment to yourself. The ability to connect deeply with the wholeness of you and also to see yourself transparently, right? To see yourself objectively from love, from compassion. A secure attachment of the self, and yet experience yourself so deeply through all of the senses. And also to know that you'll always be there. You'll always be there. You will always be there. I think that's the most beautiful part of connecting to your authentic self is really believing that you will never leave yourself again. Really believing that you have your own back. Really believing and trusting in yourself. Such a gift. Because as I said, to forget, to abandon yourself, what happens is that when you find yourself, it's like opening all of the shutters in a house and letting all the light in. Illumination. And while it is always a process, you know, alignment, staying true is always a process. It's a process of falling out of alignment and coming back into alignment, falling out of alignment, coming back into alignment. Because you clarify what it feels like. And you clarify and understand more powerfully what actions lead to what. And it's the same with rejecting, abandoning yourself. What actions led to that? And what actions, what truth, what intuition, what wisdom, all of this that maintains that connection with yourself. That is priceless, my love. Absolutely priceless. Through my process, one of the strongest things I learned of how I abandoned myself was through lack of boundaries. Oftentimes I find in the spiritual community, boundaries are this conceptual understanding and these conceptual like lines. To me, boundaries are self-love. They are self-integrity and they are dynamic. Boundaries are not a list of what you do and do not allow, because that list is not intelligent. You are highly intelligent and extremely dynamic. And so boundaries, instead of being I will not allow or I will allow, needs to be in the moment, in the body. Boundaries need to be a question. Is this loving to myself? Yes or no? If it's a yes, then that is in alignment with you. And if it's a no, then that is not in alignment with you. And that's where you have to choose and take action upon that no. And that can change. That can change per person. That can change per situation. That can change as you evolve so rapidly. One day, what was maybe a no is now a yes, or vice versa. So if you make it conceptual, it's not really a boundary, it's protection, which is exclusion, which is separation. Boundary is inclusion. Self-love is inclusion. It's expansion. Again, it's highly intelligent. So as I went through this process, I realized how many times I had a no in my body and I said yes. Or I had a yes in my body and I said no. Because that's just as powerful. The things that light us up, the things that turn our passion on. Yes, yes, yes. And we say no, no, no. Or just as much of a rejection of self than it is when it's a clear no and we say yes anyways to people please, to make other people comfortable, to blend in, right? To camouflage, to whatever. The list of reasons why we go against ourselves. Ultimately, it comes down to the fact that we don't feel safe. We don't feel safe in who we are. We don't feel safe to own this is a no, or to own that this is a yes. And so, your authentic self, my love, is found, is realized, is remembered through the clarity of your yes and your no. There are no maybes. There are no kind of sort ofs. Sometimes the answer isn't clear yet. But there's no maybe, because a maybe is where you're really just denying one or the other. So for instance, if it's a yes and you're really uncomfortable actually boldly stepping into that yes, you'll give yourself a maybe because you really want to go towards the no. And vice versa, if it's a no, but oh my gosh, that's going to disrupt. Somebody's not going to like that if I say no. So is it a maybe? I kind of feel like it's a maybe. Maybe that works for me. It's just where we're going against the grain. And so we create the maybe. maybes are different than it's not clear yet. Because we can do that. We can stay in a space and continue to inquire as the energy clarifies and we get our yes or no, but that's not a maybe. That's more of a unclear, not yet, not sure yet. If you find yourself in a, kind of feels like it could be either one, there's a maybe there, I invite you to re-ask with complete honesty to yourself. Most likely, you're denying one or the other. Trust me, I've done it a million times. That's how I went so far off the train of self. People pleasing. Trying to make other people feel comfortable, make other people feel safe around me. And then ironically enough, I didn't feel safe in myself. So when we clarify our boundaries, we clarify who we innately are, our authentic self. And as we do that, it feels like coming home. And as it feels like coming home, we open up and become more vulnerable and we share that version of ourselves with the world. It doesn't mean we tell everybody every single moment of our day. It's not what vulnerability is about. Vulnerability is the willingness to be seen. And when you find yourself, oh my gosh, it's like you want nothing else than to show the world who she is. Because you'll see her. You'll see her brilliance. You'll see her humor. You'll see her tenderness and her innocence. You'll see her love. You'll see her power. She'll blow your socks off on how beautiful she is. So vulnerability will come, my love, naturally and organically. And if you're not there yet, focus on your boundaries. It's definitely what I do with my clients, so I'm happy to assist you. I won't tell you who you are. I will guide you back to yourself. I will help you to realize who she is for you. I will help you to see her. I will help you to connect to her through you, not through my lens. So I want you to find her. The world needs her. As always, thank you so much for joining me here today. Every Tuesday is a solo episode like this one, and every Thursday is a guest appearance. 2 episodes a week. Yum. Please share this podcast with your friends, with your family, with anybody that you think would benefit from it. I show up here to share, and the ripple effect is very beneficial when it is shared beyond. Be sure to rate and review if you haven't already. And hey, have you joined the Facebook group? The Ecstatic Woman Podcast Community. It's a great community I'm building, and I'm bringing on some extra, like, behind the scenes and extra content from the guests and ways you guys can connect with the guests more intimately, as well as just ways you can connect with fellow ecstatics and on, right? A sense of community. Both men and women are welcome. And otherwise, I will see you next time on the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. I love you so much.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.